Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Emerging Enterprise Radio, featuring high growth companies and their trusted advisors.
Welcome back to an exciting and informative edition of Emerging Enterprise. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this afternoon is our producer, Kevin Finn, and my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. How you doing, man?
Doing well. This is one of my favorite shows. This is where we get to really put the spotlight on the people that are going to fix this economy and change the world.
I know. They're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. I think some of them are already hopped up on the Halloween candy. They're coming in here with all this with all this energy. And we had a chance to meet them very briefly, all three of them, I believe.
That's right.
At Venture Atlanta 2012. So a little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Stephen O2 with Vocal Tap, and we're going to visit with our buddy Carl Pearl over at Aventis, who set us up with what we needed to open our most recent studio.
That's right. Our Gwinnett studio will be powered by Aventis.
By Aventis, system. Right. We got to put that on the logo. But first up on Emerging Enterprise this afternoon, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you gentlemen and ladies out in the listening audience, founder and, but I don't have my glasses.
It's CEO.
CEO with Thunder Lizard, Mr. Pete Santoro. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I feel like I'm already at a disadvantage. I mean, Carl's providing you guys services.
Exactly. You know, that's how persuasive he was at Venture Atlanta.
Right. Talking about bringing in the pitch hitter. Yeah, and I'm just happy to be here at this point.
Well, we'll see how you do, if we can do business. So why don't you tell us about Thunder Lizard? What are you guys up to?
Well, Thunder Lizard is the fastest way to go from cold lead to qualified prospect. And to put it in context, we're like Google Alerts for cold leads. We sell to companies with sales forces that have a lot of contacts, but not a lot of good ideas on where to start. And so we help them prioritize that list and make it make that sales process more effective for their salespeople.
So did you have a list that you saw people not working really well and you said, man, here's an idea, a gap we need to fill? What compelled you to even go down this path?
I mean, if you've been a salesperson at any point in time in your life, there's 100 reasons that could compel you down this path. In Venture Atlanta, we had the slide up there. 99% of leads suck 99% of the time. So you're talking about a process that's just not a perfect process. And you, as a sales manager, Carl would know this, and, driving the sales guys, you just want to push for activity. You know, you push harder and harder, and you try and bring in stuff that they can work with that's good or qualified or will lead to a sale, but you just don't know. So at the end of the day, you hire someone like us who we're like Moneyball for lead generation. So we take a bunch of raw data. We have the systems to collect it. We analyze it, and then we prioritize it for your sales reps.
So now, could you walk us through what an engagement looks like with you guys? Like, where does this even begin?
Yeah, so it's a good question. Right now what we're doing is we're working with lead generation companies, so companies that provide lists. And we're helping them process and provide a better end product to their customers. So if going back to Carl, he's got a sales force and he's
going to... giving some pre-consulting for Carl
exactly right, pre-consulting. He's got salespeople and they'll maybe want to buy a list of people that they could reach out to or call. And so they go to a company that specializes in whatever area that he's trying to call into. So there might be a particular title or company set or, anyone above 25 million or something like that. So they basically create this qualified group of people based off of certain criteria. They go to a business that sells that and they buy the list from them. And usually that company just turns it over in the form of an Excel spreadsheet.
And it's filled with like email addresses and phone numbers and things like
First name, title, right. Company name, phone number, email. And what we want to do is we want to help those companies provide something more valuable, which is help them to, on a real-time basis, prioritize this and have it going 24/7. So it's not a, hey, I bought this from this list company once and the relationship's done. It's, hey, these guys have this great set of leads, and it's constantly updated. It's constantly prioritized for my sales rep based off of things that are taking place, real-time intelligence that's taking place. And that's blogs and Twitter and maybe different types of data sources. So we're trying to help those guys provide a better experience to their customers. And then soon I think we'll end up going right to the Carls and right to the businesses themselves, providing that experience.
So now let me see if I understand this. You have normally Carl would buy a list. So say he got 100 names of businesses that meet his criteria.
Yep.
After you're done with this list, now what does he have, 4 names that are the really good ones?
No, he still has the 100 names, but the 4 names are at the top.
So you sort them.
Yep, you sort them based off of key things that are taking place, key activities that are taking place.
So that way he knows he wants his staff to focus on the like you sort them best to worst kind of thing, or do you just sort the cream?
Yep, best to worst. And you have to start, if you start looking at the market as a whole, take someone like University of Phoenix. They spend about $120 million plus per year on just buying leads. These are people that want to get their MBA or some type of...
Education.
That's right, more education. They've gone to some form. They've filled out some type of information. They've become a lead. And that's something that goes into a CRM system, sits. They get doled out to sales reps. They're terrible. And so the sales reps hate their job, and it causes more turnover, and they leave. And so you have this repetitive attrition process that's built in. And so there's a lot of companies that are like that. So our thought is if we can make their job better, even a 5 to 10% increase on what their job currently is, that's a big bottom line difference, to the company. And hopefully that'll make them want to keep coming back and keep using this information.
So if it's back to Carl's example, you've got things out there, magic gigaboogies or something, watching for if someone goes on a blog or tweets or something, says, gee, we're opening a new studio in a couple of weeks. Sure, wish we had a good source for computers. Somehow your thing is picking that up and moving Stone, Peyton, and Lee Cantor a little bit higher on Carl's list?
That's right.
Man, that's magic.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, a lot of people talk about this concept of big data, and big data, and it gets thrown around. But really what it is this ability to leverage lots of different pieces of raw data and be able to pull some type of insight out. So our goal as Thunder Lizard is really to focus that capability on the lead generation market, understand what it is that makes a lead, why someone would be interested in that, and how likely is that to kind of go through the entire life cycle. And so we've focused in on that. If you look at Walmart, what that means for Walmart is cameras in the parking lot, and then what they do is they take all those different data streams, and then they'll take satellite images of their parking lot mixed with the camera streams, and they'll start to see, hey, when are the cars coming into the parking lot? Where are they parking? What's the best layout of the parking? How are people traveling through the parking lot? And then you can start to overlay that with, hey, what are traffic patterns in the city? When are people going by our store? When are the best times that, based off of traffic and based off our, parking lot capacity? So you start to see a lot of kind of overlays, and each company has their own set of big data. And I did use air parentheses for that. You couldn't see it,
but
I used
that.
It. Yes. Each company has their own set of big data. And the question is, how best can they use that to solve a business problem? And our business problem is lead generation.
Now, I understand that you guys are implementing the lean startup kind of methodology.
We are.
So that's, what is it? The least viable product, the most viable product. Where are you at?
Minimum
viable. I knew it was an M.
Least viable is probably I don't know what that is. That's the fat startup or something. It's not a good startup, I'll tell you that.
So you have to have a viable product.
Yes, technically it's something that someone would like to give you money for.
So you have to sell number one something to somebody.
Yes, in some way, shape, or form. You have to sell something to someone. The question is, how quickly can you do that and with how little resources? And I think there's a question for startups is always, where do I start? You know, how do I get going? That's a big question. And the answer is really the smallest possible thing that you can to prove that there might be some type of traction.
So what was your first inkling that you had something?
Someone told us they wanted to buy our product.
So right there, you're like, hey, we're onto something.
Hey, this is good.
That beats the other three that we just started last week.
We kind of created a little tiny product that pulled in some Twitter information and parsed it, or which means read it, was able to read it and understand what it was saying. And at that point, someone was like, that's interesting. What could I do with that? And we gave them some ideas and they said, okay, we'll try that. So that kind of got us going down this road. But there's, you know, there's lots, if someone in this industry, if someone gave us their data and we were able to sort their Excel spreadsheet by hand, and we had 20 people that were kind of going through this, if that was possible, then that would be a minimum viable product. I don't have to have a technology set in order to prioritize leads. I just need to make those leads better in some way, shape, or form. So a lot of the work we do is, hey, how can you build this without actually building it?
And then at what stage are you at right now? Do you have clients, or is it out in the marketplace?
Yeah, so what's taking place right now is we have the whole technology. We have the infrastructure built. We have no real front end to it. And that's why we're not going direct to businesses. We're going to direct to the companies with salespeople that would use it on a one-to-one basis. We're going to the lead generation companies because those are the guys that can integrate it with the platform that they have or the infrastructure that they have. So it's all infrastructure-based right now, and we've just started building our front end. So hopefully in the next 3 months, we'll kind of have a nice, shiny, polished version of what we're doing.
Now, are you self-funding this, or you have investors?
I am self-funding it. It's been fun.
So you're not buying lunch?
Yeah, no lunches. No office space. Mm-hmm. Try and keep everything to a bare minimum. We do have office space in the Biltmore, which is great, but we try and keep everything to a bare minimum, provide what we can to our clients as fast as possible, and just leave the rest of the stuff for later on. And you'd be amazed if you know what you're trying to do and you have some people who have bought in on your team into what you're trying to do, how quickly you can do it and with as little money. A lot of times as you convince people, or you have difficulty convincing people to join your team, you have to add money to the equation to really make it work. But if you can convince them that what you're doing is really going to change the way maybe people hire salespeople in the future, so the way businesses run, then you can do it for less money.
So what's next for you? What's the next few months look like? Where are you going to put your energy?
Next few months is strategic partners. We're looking for these lead generation companies. We've done some good pilot programs right now.
I've heard of a system that can help you sort through those to get the best ones.
Yeah, you eating your own cooking?
Yeah, we are. And we're doing it with clients. We're working on their problems, which is really exciting for us because they bring a lot of different types of data that we can't get access to. So we're real excited about that. We've got a couple partnerships in the works right now, but that's what we're focused on. If we can find some smart people in that space that realize that, hey, I can't just keep selling an Excel spreadsheet over Salesforce and data.com, which are the kind of the Salesforce bought Jigsaw, which is the big players in the market. So if they can realize that, then we're a great partner because we're willing to do a lot more work than they would probably get from some other
firm. And then you monetize this by it being a premium service within their platform?
That's right.
Very cool.
You got it. Are you available?
Yes, he is. Yes, he's available.
the salary is not great, but the equity benefits.
So what's the best way for folks to reach out to you and try to learn more, particularly these potential partners?
Yep. So I think the first thing is you can go to our website. There's not a lot of information there, but you can put your email address in. You can give us your contact information, and we'll reach out to you. The website is Thunder Lizard, thunderlizard.com. Or you can give me a shout. Do people give their cell phones out over this?
Yeah, it's surprising.
It's kind of scary, actually.
Since it'll be on
I'm in the data world, so I don't know if – no, my cell phone's probably – go to LinkedIn. It's a great way to connect with me. Pete Santora on LinkedIn, and my number is 404-242-6367. All of my details are on LinkedIn, though. We try and keep real-time resumes on there.
And is the picture, the profile picture, is it of the dinosaur or is it?
no, it is not of the dinosaur, although it should be. And he is now following me to all events. Just a quick plug for the dinosaur. He raised the startup Blizzard raised $300 at Venture Atlanta for the startup community. He just got the venture capital folks and the community folks to sign him, and the big startup that we are, we matched $1 per signature. We had two great people, Jen Bonnet from the ATDC, match what we were doing, and also Lanaya Garrett, who matched what we were doing. And she's a private equity, venture capital person in town, and both of them have been great.
Oh, very
good.
Cool
stuff.
Yeah. Hey, listen, can you hang out with us for a little bit while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely. Excited to hear what you guys have.
I love doing the show. It's, I mean, everybody that comes in here is so fired up about what they're doing. They've got a different take on things, and I'm sure it's going to be no exception for our next guest. Please welcome, if you would, Vice President with Aventis Systems, Mr. Carl Pearl. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here and to be a part of the Radio X afternoon. So fire away, guys.
Well, did the check clear? Or you don't know yet?
Not yet. Not yet. We're still waiting on that. Still waiting.
So, yeah, to our listeners, I mean, we took the guy seriously. Carl was across the hall from us, across the space, when we were at Venture Atlanta 2012 last week. Was it
That's
only
right.
a week ago? And we took him at his word that he really does provide good systems, and we went out and got one, didn't we?
That's right. It was that simple, easy to work with. They did a great job, and the system should be up and running within the next week or so.
Right. It's only going to take a few days. No. it was up and running very quickly, but you'll get
now
the benefit
of
it.
Our studio is up and running.
Absolutely. So let's start there, though. Carl, what is it exactly that Aventis is out there trying to do for folks like Business Radio X?
A great question. So Aventis Systems is a IT hardware provider. When you look at Dell, HP, storage, and servers, that is our primary line. We do also networking gear through Cisco. We also do world-class or business-class workstations, laptops, and desktops. And at the end of the day, what we're about is providing the best hardware in the business at the best price. So we're able to lower the cost of new and refurbished hardware anywhere from 30 to 50%. So when you're looking at procuring hardware, the question always is, where do I go get it, and how can I get it in a timely manner? And we're able to provide that hardware in 2 to 3 days. It's been tested. It has been certified. And it goes out the door with a 3-year warranty. So
right.
very proud
so,
of that.
So you get a – it might be refurbished, but you're getting a warranty that it might as well be new.
Correct. So you get a 3-year warranty from Aventis. If there's any warranty remaining from the OEM, it will run concurrent with ours. Mm-hmm. So you can either come to us or go to the OEM. So that's the benefit as well.
Right. And you're here in Atlanta, so you can just – drive on by.
So you can, again, we've got two locations, and that's a good point. We've got a location in Marietta, Georgia, mm-hmm. right there just north of the Big Chicken. We like to talk about that. That's where our operations team is.
I heard they're changing that to a Big Lizard shortly.
The Lizard likes chicken, by the way. He just licked his lips.
I can tell you, the technicians over there would love for him to come by. I think they would enjoy having him stop by for a few minutes, and that would brighten their day. But if you look at our warehouse, we've got a little over $5 million in inventory in the warehouse. We've got three bays that we fill today. And anywhere from, again, the networking equipment through desktops, laptops, workstations, down to components. The sales and marketing business development is right at the Galleria. So all of the smart guys, the engineers, are at the warehouse. Uh-huh. And the sales team resides at the Galleria.
So I got to ask you, when we were there was a sign, Audi 8 parking only. Is that your obsession, the Audi, or is that somebody else in the parking lot?
That belongs to – so, again, we have a great team,
and
it belongs to the owner. That is his parking spot. And
how cool is that?
Before it was the Audi R8, it was the Porsche. So he
made a change.
Hassan LeMay is a great mind, and I've had the privilege of working with him now for 3 years, and he just always is pushing me to bring more out of the team and to push us forward and to challenge all of us. And at the end of the day, we're at a point where last year we did some profit sharing with the employees. Mm-hmm. And it's always good to be able to give back to the employees and give back to our community. Sure. And he does a great job of that, and I'm very proud to be a part of his team.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that I liked about the experience is in the first run when we talked to one of your guys, we were in the car and on the phone, and he rattled off a lot of specs, and then we kind of had to fess up that stuff didn't really mean a lot to us. It sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher. And I said, look, I don't know how many gigaboogies we need or any of that, but here's what we do. And then he says, oh, okay. And then he helped us figure out what we needed to do. So you've got very knowledgeable people that know how to work with people, and that's not as prolific as one would like to think in your arena, is it?
No, it's not. And you end up with what you just said, which is a lot of people in technology talk feed and speeds is what we call it. Mm-hmm. And we really try to educate our team to talk more to the business case, to the business side. What is the customer looking to do with the hardware? And then we can make the right recommendation. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, some people, like you said, you guys are not technically savvy, but my sales team is, and they can map to your requirement. And that goes a long way with customers and building confidence and building trust, to be honest.
Now, when you're working with clients, what does that look like? They're coming in because their thing is broken or like their thing crashed, and they're like, hey, Carl, we're in a crisis here. What do you got? And then you're having to get the truck up. And
It comes in that flavor. It comes in multiple flavors. Anywhere from, in the beginning, it truly starts with generally something is broken. Mm-hmm. And so we become what we call a quick fix.
Right.
And over time, we evolve to business practice.
And a trusted advisor.
Right. Working the strategy and then helping them to deploy the strategy and execute. The biggest thing, similar to last night, I sat at a round table with a bunch of CIOs here in Atlanta, some of the enterprise CIOs, and their biggest challenge today is communicating the business case and justifying some of these hardware purchases. Yeah. And so our team can help them build that business case. They know the feeds and speeds, but we understand, hey, here's why you need it, and here's what it's going to save your business, and here's the value to your business. So you're not just buying a box. You're buying the full-end solution, and that's the best thing I can say about my sales team is that they understand the customers, and they're able to bring that value back to the customer.
So CIOs, that's an important contingency for you guys to have. You got to know a lot of CIOs around town?
We know a lot of the CIOs around town. I probably spend more time talking to CIOs than I do network admins. The network admins do a lot of the groundwork in talking to my team and setting the tactical piece, but the strategies come from the CIO. And we try to partner with them to understand the business case. We also go upstairs to the owner because at the end of the day, the owner's, if he's going to spend $30,000 to $50,000, the owner's going to make that decision. The CIO may have the strategy, but the owner has the decision.
Right.
And what we try to make them comfortable with is what is refurbished hardware at the end of the day? So we walk them through the process. We take out when we get a chassis in, we take out the CPU, the memory, and the hard drives. We test that unit to the OEM spec, the motherboard. Once it passes, we put it on the shelf. Then when a customer calls in, we'll custom config and put in new parts, test it. If they want an operating system, we'll load that, test it as well, make sure it's up and running, and then we'll send it out the door with a 3-year warranty. And that confidence is built over time because let's understand, we're talking about the pieces, the components that make the business run. And you don't notice it unless it's broken.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Ain't that the truth?
Then you notice it right away.
Right. It's considered a black hole by many business owners because they look at it as, hey, I'm investing every year. And we're telling them, look, don't invest at the OEM cost. Invest at 30 to 50% less,
right,
but yet see the same performance. And that's our value when we talk to the owner. And that's why
the secret sauce, right?
It is. It really is. I mean, you can just change out the CPU set, get the same performance, but yet save those dollars. And reinvest where? In innovation, because that's where the CIO is really needed.
Right.
Not in, you know, older hardware, their perception of, but hey, we're able to innovate, move forward with our business, and get to market sooner, which is what I see a lot of new businesses trying to do. So everyone talks about the cloud, and we've had conversations about the cloud and its impact to our business. And what we share is, what is the cloud? Because it's different to many businesses. But the cloud really is hardware.
Right.
So you're renting space on
someone else's
hardware.
Right.
So for small business, we're able to say, look, we can help you with if it's just your desktop, laptop, And then as you grow and your information becomes larger, well, guess what? You want to keep your proprietary data. And we're able to say, look, this is the type of hardware you really need to be looking at, not the high-end stuff. It's not what you require. Look at this. And then you still can be in the cloud, but again, protect your data. And that's what we're about.
And you're finding that you can do it at 30% to 50% savings and still make a reasonable profit on your own. I mean, you found that sweet spot.
There is a sweet spot when you look at, again, how we procure the hardware, whether it's a data center takeout, and unfortunately another business
doesn't
goes out of business.
Ski masks, does it?
Not this year.
So, no, you find businesses that are upgrading, going out of business, that kind of thing?
Exactly. So a lot of companies today don't buy their IT hardware. They lease it. Mm-hmm. So they lease it for a term, and at the end of that term, they'll upgrade. While the bank doesn't have a need for the hardware.
Right.
And so we'll buy it from the bank, and then we'll take it through our process.
And you refurbish it and resell.
Exactly. So it's a business model that is proven, and next year we are excited because we're now in a growth phase. We're actually going to be adding headcount. We will be scaling. We've got a footprint that goes around the globe. We are focusing next year primarily on the U.S. We've got some great markets that we're playing in today that we just want to expand in. So,
right. Well, you mentioned earlier about the CIOs and being at a roundtable with them. How do you kind of build a community around those CIOs?
I think that is one-to-one. It really is. It's a one-to-one engagement. Whether I am at a TAG event where I see a lot of them, I spend a lot of time with TAG, my team does, and we build partnerships there. And just in them having that conversation and trusting us and just saying, you know what, you guys do have the intellectual
property.
Right,
and they see you around and you participate in sponsor events and stuff.
And people tell me all the time, they say, Carl, your team, every time we see them, they're so excited.
Right.
And they're just out and about and they're engaged. And I think that's how you build the community. That's how you get people to say, wait a minute, people love energy. And if you don't have high energy, what else do you have?
Right.
And so I'll tell you that as a Peter to your team as they go out and sell, you know, look for those high energy guys because that's what people are going to gravitate to. Not just the latest and greatest, but hey, we have value here. There's something exciting
and
going
passionate,
on.
Passionate, right.
And passion. You got to have passion for what we do. And I got a team that I can tell you, my field marketing team, I love them because they're out at events. This is a time of year where we're at a lot of events and they're doing it and excited about it. And, you know, I know poor Mark sitting at home today. I know he's exhausted, but I've got him going out tomorrow, and he's out next week. But, you know, that's what we do. This is what salespeople do. And having that passion for Aventa Systems is what we really look for when we hire candidates.
Right. And then once you get Pete's lead thing in there, it'll be smooth sailing.
Yeah.
Well, I got to ask, because obviously you felt like it was worth the energy to invest in Venture Atlanta 2012, and I don't know a polite way to ask this, so I'm just going to ask it. Mm-hmm. These guys don't have any money yet, right? So what's the rationale for hanging out with that crowd?
So again, it goes twofold. When you look at these small business, the perception is they don't have a lot of money, and you're right, they don't. But what they do have is a great idea. And there have been times where we have had an agreement where, you know, someone gets a piece of hardware for a few dollars less. And we'll put that hardware in their hands and they'll use it, test it, and love it. And for them, it's a way to get their business started.
Right.
And so as they scale, we scale with them and we build a partnership that's long-term and trusting. When you look at the venture capitalist, the question always is, where do they invest their dollars and how can we help them in their portfolio? And as an advisor to a medium or small-sized business, guess what they're telling them? Why am I investing $30,000 in hardware when we can do it for maybe $20,000 and I can expand my portfolio by talking to another business? So we're able to help both businesses or both partners there. And Venture Atlanta for us has been a huge success. Huge success.
Right.
We met you guys.
Exactly. So, just on that alone was a win.
Just that. I mean, and again, we have, this is our second year sponsoring and being a partner with Venture Atlanta, and we're just excited to be there doing that with them.
And you've got this, you've got your eye on international. You're developing more and more international business. Speak to that a little bit, if you would.
So it's funny. We are, if you look at how we started as a eBay company. And we posted on eBay. And if you look at our rating on eBay, we're 99.8. So customers are telling us we're doing a great job. We do over, and we've had over 15,000 pieces of data come back to that effect.
That .2 guy doesn't like anybody. Don't take it personally.
You know. it's like the fifth dentist with right. The gum. It's the same guy.
You know, it really is. So customers actually find us on eBay, or they find us through our web chat. And again, they're looking for the hardware, and they know all of a sudden they have a conversation with us, and they realize it's not just a commodity, but a total end-to-end solution. Because
right.
We'll tell someone in a heartbeat, hey, understand, that's the wrong fit for your business. That solution is not going to get you to where you want to go. Here's a better play. Here's
right.
something you need to be considering. And my engineering team, you know, Ben Yampolsky, he is a great engineering mind as our director of IT. And his team with Andre Galletti, those guys do a great job of getting in front of customers and telling them, this is what you need to be considering as you look at your network and upgrading or downgrading in some cases.
Right.
Fun stuff, man. How can our listeners learn more?
They can find us at Aventis Systems. That's A-V-E-N-T-I-S, systems with the S on the end, .com. They can call us directly and get my sales team at 866-528-9313. And option one will get them my sales team. And they'll get helped just like you guys did. And
that's right.
That's
what we did.
We're here for the community. Mm-hmm. We're here for our national customers and the local customers.
That was a fantastic experience for us. I mean, we made the call, we got it done. We were hungry. We were ready to go eat our Chinese. We made right. the call, placed
in,
it
in the parking lot of the Chinese restaurant.
That's right. We got it nailed. What was it like that? After, maybe the next day we went
right,
by and got all the stuff.
It up. And then
now Gwinnett's off and running.
I think you guys spent 10 minutes on the phone.
Yeah. Right.
There was a 10-minute call.
Well, five of that was horsing around with you. Then we started talking to the guy that could really help us.
The smart guys, right? That's what I called them.
Well, thanks so much for coming. We got to have you back sometime, man.
Be glad to be back, and thank you for having me today.
Yeah. Hey, hang with us while we visit with our last guest.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Well, On Tap, Lee, is a gentleman
on
with...
Tap.
On Tap.
Nice.
With us is
good
a gentleman
segue.
With Vocal Tap. I thought I've been playing that for like 10 minutes, and then you screwed up my rhythm. But it's the guy we've all been waiting for. It's the headliner. The undercard stuff is done with now,
that's right?
And we now get a chance to visit with Stephen. I'm probably going to screw up the last name, though. I didn't ask you how to pronounce Stephen O'Too.
Yes, yeah, correct.
There you go. I had a 50% chance. Probably should have just went with it. Vocal Tap. Give us the skinny on Vocal Tap.
Awesome. Great to be here. So Vocal Tap is a way for basically small businesses to collaborate with each other and learn from one another using video chats. So basically we help them kind of hold each other accountable to goals and really kind of just share strategies on growth and how to cut costs. And really, I guess a great example to kind of give on what we do is if you're a coffee shop owner in Atlanta, Dallas, New York, or wherever else, we believe that you can learn from each other and really kind of share what makes your business tick and what kind of just helps you become more successful. And we just help make that happen using video chat software.
And what video chat software are you using right now?
So right now we're actually using Google Plus Hangouts.
And then can you walk us through how that would work? I sign up on Vocal Tap and I have a profile or something and let you know what I do and what I'm interested in?
Yeah, exactly. You sign up and you tell kind of what stage of your business is in so we can make sure we match you up with the correct.
Right. But let's say that I'm the coffee shop guy and say I'm in here in Atlanta. Are you connecting me with other coffee shop people around the country to share kind of best practices? Is that the thing?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. We connect you with other coffee shop owners throughout the country. And the idea is that, like, you know, you can go to different networking events and maybe do different like referrals and get different just network with different people. But there's not really a way for you to get a dedicated support system. And as sort of an entrepreneur, you know, you're oftentimes at this unique journey. And it, like if you're working in a corporation and the regular corporate environment, you may have your coworkers where you can bounce ideas off of, or you may have a manager to hold you accountable to goals. But there's not really that same sort of aspect that you can get being an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, and we're helping you bring that.
So there's a matchmaking aspect to this that you guys really help facilitate, or you have some sort of mechanism for?
It's an algorithm.
That.
Yeah.
It's an algorithm.
It always
Lee
is.
Lee learned that word like 3 weeks ago.
It's an algorithm.
It's always an algorithm.
So we are a little bit early stage right now, so eventually there will be some type of kind of secret sauce algorithm. But right now the algorithm is us sort of just in the background and pairing together people that we think make sense. For
like Pete was talking about. Pete said you didn't have to necessarily have all the whole machine built at this point.
It's a what? Concierge algorithm.
It's personal, yeah. Very personal service.
Well, yeah, that's basically the lean startup methodology. I mean, you don't build everything out right away. You kind of do everything kind of manually first and then automate the parts that are the most difficult later on.
Now, how is it, and Pete, you can speak of this also, how do you find the other team members to kind of buy in on this dream of yours to kind of grow this?
I guess the way I found my partner was at a networking or a startup event called a hackathon. Mm-hmm. And basically it's just an event where I guess a bunch of tech geeks come together in one night and try to build a product in around 48 hours and then present it to a panel of different investors or just
right. But so okay, so you make it through that, and you got something that is that minimum viable product, and it's out there, and you're like, hey, this is great. And then you start telling some people, and they're like, oh, that's a great idea. How do you get them to go, you know what? I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to not go and watch the college football games, and I'm not going to be on Facebook. I'm going to just now, heads down, I'm gonna put time and effort in this. How do you motivate someone to do that?
It's just passion. I mean, you can be as convincing as you can, just giving a lot of passion with your dream. But at the same time, it's always good to show a little traction and show people that you've already have sort of a following or a few customers, or just you've built something more than just an idea.
Now, you don't have to pay these people?
No, I mean, you do want to, I mean, if you have some type of relationship.
Can you hear that, well, Kevin?
Are you listening to this?
You don't have to pay these people.
that's not quite, I mean, if you have, nobody wants to just work for free, but that you do want to have sort of some understanding that eventually there may be some type of equity partner or down the line you may have some type of reserve payment solution with them, sort of like a lawyer maybe working pro bono.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my two principles are traction and crazy people. Okay. So
I know where to get the crazy people.
Yeah, we're doing okay on that front.
I mean, once you find real lunatics, you know you're in the right spot, and then just show them that your thing is a little bit better than the next guy's, and you're okay.
No, but no, really, you're motivating them on this vision of the future, right? Some future point where there's going to be the big payoff that's going to go public, or you're going to be bought by somebody, and there's a big check at the end of the rainbow. Is that the big sale for your co-founders and
maybe
team?
But in the same vein, if you're finding someone that's purely motivated on that potential big payout, they may or may not be the right person, because they're just going to have different reasons to actually be joining your team, because it is a long and just there's a phrase called the trough of sorrow, where you're just kind of in this kind of realm where you don't quite know what's going on. It's a lot of gray. So if you're finding someone that's strictly motivated from those financial factors,
that's not a good fit.
Not a good fit.
Now, has this always been your MO, or did you have a real job at some point and be like everybody else, or have you always just jumped off a cliff and tried this kind of thing?
Well, my background. I graduated from Georgia about three or four University of Georgia about 3 or 4 years ago, and I guess my real job then, I was an intern on Wall Street for a little while. But then afterwards, I went to go work for a startup abroad in India for about a year. I was working with a startup real estate company. So I pretty much knew that I was going to try to get in the startup route.
Right.
And this is probably my second startup I actually started myself. My first one was a crowdfunding or online fundraising platform for artists and entertainers, and ran that for around 2 or 3 years. And now I'm focusing strictly on this.
Way cool.
Wow.
Now, why don't we talk a little bit more about Vocal Tap? Is it at what stage is it right now? Is it on? Are you in beta, alpha? Where are you at?
Yeah, we're in, I guess, private alpha, shifting towards beta. But we're basically at the point where we've held a few sessions already, and we've already connected, met a few business owners together, and we've had them discuss sort of the challenges that they are facing in their business and some of the goals, and then we kind of had those groups meet regularly, and we moderate the sessions ourselves to just make sure that the conversation's going. And we've held a few of those, and we're pretty much consistently trying to hold more and more. So that's where we are.
And then what's the feedback by the attendees of that?
I mean, they love it, because if you think about it, it's just a sort of an isolating feeling oftentimes being an entrepreneur.
Right.
And they like the fact that they have other mentors, peer mentors, that they can actually lean on and talk to someone that's just like-minded and help them understand where they're trying to go.
But this is something that really has to kind of grow organically, right? Like, you're expecting some of these people that are participating to share this and slowly just build more and more people participating?
Yeah, eventually. I mean, also, there's potential for maybe going to certain, like, industry associations and trade organizations and working with groups like that. For instance, the Association of Plumbers. If you can get a group of plumbers all together and kind of learning
and give them a place where they can just go regularly to chat amongst themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And it's almost like an educational thing for them. They can learn what's working for one person and what's not working.
Have you tried that? Have you been able to partner with any associations yet?
Not at this stage, because we want to do it individually first and make sure we kind of prove the concept. And if you're familiar with even, I heard you mention the CIO roundtables earlier.
Right.
Like that's basically what we're doing. We're helping bring the roundtable concept virtually using video chat software.
I think it's a fantastic idea. And I thought I knew where you were headed because I thought you'd be saying that teachers need to be doing this and talking to each other about better ways to deliver.
To teach classes. They can do it. Well, it's kind of a virtual classroom.
So if you think about it, I mean, we're talking about peer groups. So almost any type of industry can have a peer group. You can have a teacher peer group, a lawyer. Right. Pre-law, anyone who didn't get into law school, peer group, whatever you want.
But teachers could do like after hours for the kids at their house.
A tutor. Just being as a tutor for a bunch of kids. That's what I was just thinking about.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think...
You're writing that down? it was Carl's idea. I want to make sure he gets the credit.
It's duly noted. But the idea right now is that we want to sort of prove the concept and the technology in one particular field. And we think that entrepreneurship and small business owners is just a really good field to start off with.
So are you thinking about, or maybe you're already doing it, adding a layer of methodology or structure to the conversation, or are you letting it run pretty free right now?
We do. I mean, we moderate the conversation and make sure that no one kind of everyone is actually getting their time in and getting time spent on them. But right now, we ask the participants to give a topic beforehand so they can actually know what they want to talk about in the sessions. And then from there, we just have... we have each person say, okay, so right now I have these employees that I thought were good, but I'm not really liking the way they're working out. How do I actually go about solving whatever? And then the other guys would jump in and give their advice and share their own experiences.
Now, so if a group wanted to use your platform, can they do kind of like a private group amongst themselves, or is that not how this is?
Yeah. So that's a great point. So we've been kind of playing with the idea of just sort of building our own community out, but then also maybe becoming a tool for where other people can actually empower their own sort of peer group. So if we had, I don't know, a trainer or something that wanted to form peer groups for sales trainers, we can use our tool to do that.
Because right now the Google Plus Hangouts, anybody can kind of use that amongst themselves. Like how many people can participate at one time?
It's up to 10 participants at any given time. And the way we're saying it right now is our core sort of value is not necessarily in the technology that we're bringing. It's more so in the matchmaking process, the scheduling process, and just taking care of all the logistics and infrastructure and getting these groups together.
Is it a hard thing for somebody who's never used Google Plus Hangouts to utilize?
No, not at all. I mean, in fact, if you're already sort of plugged into the Google ecosystem, if you have a Gmail account or whatever else, it's really just as simple as clicking a link to get started.
So have you figured out the financial models on this thing, where you think you might be able to make money? Because it's probably more than one stream, right?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, right now we're seeing ourselves just a monthly fee subscription-based model. But then also, I mean, if we get a group of people together that have sort of told what challenges they're having, it could be a good play to actually bring in maybe some type of expert into the conversation, and maybe that could be another
premium.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. And there would be some really meaningful content that could eventually be monetized.
You know, you bring some celebrity, whatever guru in a space in, and then people pay a few bucks to have a conversation or learn from that person.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what we're thinking.
You wrote that down, too?
Yeah.
That was Carl's idea.
How much would you pay for Joe the Plumber, to be honest? Yeah, that's right. We got Joe the Plumber this week.
So what do you need right now? You need some more people to know about it and get ready to sign up. You need somebody just to write you a check to loosen some things up so you can get some more passionate people. What do you need?
not the check right now, because we want to make sure we're getting enough traction on our own before we go out and do any type of fundraising efforts. But yeah, we really just like more people to know about what we're doing and offer them our services. So as many people as possible who are small business owners who are just looking to potentially learn from other peer business owners, like we'd love for more and more people to know about it and come check us out.
Okay, so where can they do that?
They can check us out at, so the company is called VocalTap, VocalTap, and .com, and you can find us on Twitter at VocalTap.com, no, just at VocalTap, or you can find us on Facebook as well. And my number is 770-330-9356, since we're all giving out our personal numbers.
I gave out my wife's number. She'd be fine answering that.
I learned that trick a long time ago. Never.
So that was a lot of fun, and I think we're all prepared now to have a fun phone conversation anytime we want.
Google Plus Hangout.
That's right.
We'll learn about the lean startup. It seems like you two both are on board with that.
Yeah, definitely. We actually both work out at Biltmore Hotel as well.
There you go.
Really?
Wow.
Very cool.
It's the epicenter of lean.
That's right.
Is it? Is that a little hub of lean?
That's where we run all of our meetings. We got lots of guys and girls down there looking to talk. So, yeah. It's like the real world version of Vocal.
Yeah, that's exactly correct.
The non-virtual.
You can go to a Google Plus Hangout to see this in action.
Yeah, you can.
That's a good idea.
Very cool. Well, this has been a blast, guys. We got to have you all back and maybe do a reunion show.
I
want to
do
something.
A lean startup special. You guys up for that?
Oh, that could be cool.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, we'd love to
do
that.
Wow.
You got enough smart people to talk about lean startups?
We got some whippersnappers down there. I'm telling you what.
Pull a few people.
Maybe in our disruptive business show.
Yeah, we'll put them on disruptive business. That's perfect.
I tell you what, it's not just a startup thing. It's corporations are jumping in anytime they want to launch a new product or service. It's how to launch that product or service with less waste, the most efficient way with less waste. So you're seeing a lot of corporations, a lot of companies jump on that bandwagon as well, not just startups.
I forgot to ask you, the mascot, is the mascot's name Thunder?
Thunder Lizard.
This is very important because of the way I wrap the show. It is.
Does that help wrap the show?
It helps wrap the show. That is perfect.
His name is Thunder.
Okay. So until next time, this is Stone Payton for our producer today, Kevin Finn, my co-host, Lee Cantor. Our guest today, Pete Santoro with Thunder Lizard, Carl Pearl with Aventis, Stephen O2 with Vocal Tap. And, of course, our new favorite mascot, Thunder, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on
Emerging Enterprise.